This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents The Adventures of Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent. Written by Larry Correa. Performed by Adam Baldwin.
Chapter 1. Tom's 9 a.m. client meeting. Washington, D.C., Earth number 345B98081. President Baldwin surveyed the White House underground war bunker. The greatest minds in the country were gathered there, appropriate for their greatest time of crisis. It had only been 2 days since a hole had been torn between worlds and the invasion had begun. But already all of Europe and half of Asia had been conquered and consumed by the slimy purple bastards. The Secretary of Defense stood at the front of the room, giving the most important PowerPoint presentation in human history. SecDef had even worn his nicest eye patch. It was the black one with the embroidered USMC bulldog on it. The fate of all mankind rested on the decisions that would be made in this room in the next few minutes, so of course PowerPoint wasn't working. They'd wasted 10 minutes trying to get it running. "Piece of crap, scuzz knuckle pisspot!" the SecDef shouted as he kicked the projector. "What's the deal, Ed?"
It says it suffered a fatal error," the Secretary of Education said as he poked ineffectually at the keys.
"Fatal error?" SecDef drew his .45. SecEd was smart enough to get the hell out of the way. "I'll show you a fatal error!" POTUS covered his ears just in time as the computer exploded in a very satisfactory manner. The Secret Service detail was used to these kinds of outbursts and barely raised their collective eyebrows. Tom Stranger was seated just behind POTUS. He leaned forward to whisper, "It doesn't really matter which dimension you're in, Mr. President. Windows still does that. There's even one Earth where Bill Gates' cyborg head is God Emperor, and they're still forced to use Vista." POTUS shuddered at the thought. "Syphilitic monkey bangers," SecDef grumbled. "I'll do this the old-fashioned way." He snapped his fingers, and two generals and an admiral brought in a dry erase board. "Dismissed, you wretched sphincter stains," SecDef bellowed as he drew a dry erase marker from his dry erase marker holster. He popped the cap and started to draw stick figure versions of the alien invaders. "They call themselves the Horde of Righteous Purification. They don't talk much, because they're usually too busy eating babies." SecDef deftly drew a frowny face on one of the blobs. Then he thought better of it and drew a bunch of sharp teeth as well. "They travel from planet to planet. They face-hump the ever-living snot out of that planet, eat everything, steal all the resources, and then stick a black hole in the core before they leave, just to be dicks about it."
Have we tried negotiating with them, Mr. President?"
the Secretary of Health and Human Services asked. POTUS groaned. He didn't really know what the Health and Human Services did. "Duh, you think I'm stupid, Tina? Of course we did. But they ate the ambassador, and then they ate the Secretary of State, and then they ate his dog. We even tried playing the keyboard like that one in the movie with the mashed potato mountain, but they ate John Tesh, too. John Tesh and his keyboard. I've depopulated half the State Department. It was like an all-you-can-eat bureaucrat buffet."
"But if we were nice to them..."
SecDef hurled his dry erase marker at the SecHeHum. "Shut your pie hole, hippie!" Sadly, because he had only one eye, he lacked depth perception and struck the press secretary in the nose. But the Secretary of Health and Human Services hid under the table just in case. Victorious, SecDef drew another marker from his holster, purple this time, and continued his briefing. "The Horde lives for war. They've been biologically augmented for the last 1,000,000 years to be perfect killing machines. They don't have tanks. They are tanks!" He colored the many tentacles and murder sparklers and eyeball cannons purple. "Their air power is made up of giant purple pterodactyls with scramjets for buttholes. They fart themselves to Mach 4 and sexually assault F-22s. He switched to red to draw flames as little stick-figure human soldiers were crushed mercilessly beneath the tentacles. "Their vats grow a fully combat-effective death mauler in 10 minutes. SecDef made explodey noises as he drew. "And you don't even want to know about their harvesters," POTUS added.
"Oh, what do they harvest?" the Secretary of Agriculture asked suspiciously. He knew a thing or two about harvesting.
"Scrotums!" SecDef shouted. Every man in the room cringed and crossed their legs protectively. "Nuke 'em!" screamed SecEd as he pounded the conference table. "Nuke the hell out of them!" The room began to chant, "Nuke, nuke, nuke!" "That's the spirit," SecDef answered. "Too bad we've been nuking them left and right since breakfast. France is now a glass parking lot with permanent nuclear winter, so the Horde went ice skating on it. They are immune to radiation, bullets, electricity, disease, lava, and personal insults. We've tried everything. They sweat nitro and sneeze acid, and when they're not killing, they're practicing killing or sharpening things so they can do some stab killing. They exist only to blow things up. He trailed off, a single tear forming in his good eye. My God, they're beautiful. The greatest minds available began to panic, which was understandable since half the world's population had died in the last 24 hours. But POTUS knew he needed to get the situation under control right the hell now, so he stood and flung his chair dramatically across the room. He went through a lot of chairs that way, but it got the point across. He'd risen to fame and popularity by playing a decisive man of action during the 5 seasons of the number one most successful libertarian space cowboy show ever to air on television, so everyone knew not to screw with him. The room grew quiet. Ahem! That'll be all. SecDef didn't hear. He was drawing a bunch of little stick figure army men saying, "No, not my scrotum!" Sadly, the purple blob thing got them. "Ah, no! This'll look good on my trophy necklace!" And then more explodey noises. "Ladies and gentlemen," POTUS spoke calmly, "the situation is under control. All is not lost. What you are about to hear is classified way beyond super black ultra top secret. It's like Bigfoot riding a unicorn-level secret. Allow me to introduce Tom Stranger." "Hello." Tom Stranger stood up and waved. "Your reality took out a policy with my company back when John Wayne was your president." Tom walked to the front of the room, handing out his business cards as he went. They read simply, "Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent." He was wearing a suit and a green polka-dot bow tie. Tom was about average height, average build, average looking. So average, in fact, that it was almost like he'd been genetically manipulated to be totally unremarkable. It was like he existed simply to provide excellent customer service. "Interdimensional insurance?" the Treasury Secretary asked. "What's that?" "Well, it's just like homeowner's insurance, but for events relating to rifts between realities," Tom answered.
"Are you the insurance guys with the cute little gecko?"
Sekhihum squeaked from beneath the table.
"No," Tom said. "What about the duck?" Secret Service agent asked. "No." "What about that weirdly attractive redheaded woman with all the makeup who lives in that somewhat Orwellian white room?" the other Secret Service agent asked.
"Flo?" POTUS asked.
"Damn, yeah, she is hot."
"No," Tom answered as he adjusted his bow tie. SecDef looked up from his dry erase massacre.
"Cartoon secret agent chick that fights robots?"
Tom shook his head sadly. "No, I'm afraid my firm does not have any sort of attractive, ironic, or humorous mascots. What we do, however, offer is a full line of interdimensional insurance services. Since this Horde incident originated on Earth 789 Alpha 12567, it falls under your extended Space Marauder protection. We'll just need to fill out some paperwork, and by paperwork I mean blow up a bunch of aliens. But we'll get this all wrapped up in no time." The room breathed a collective sigh of relief. This was why Tom Stranger had been voted number one in customer service for 3 years running.
"So there are other Earths?" SecAg asked.
"Every time a Planck event warps the geosynergy matrix, a Thorn incident will cause an alteration in Hawking space," Tom said happily. When the Secretary of Agriculture looked at him blankly, Tom continued, "My apologies, I must simplify my explanation for this universe's cow lord. Yes, a whole bunch of Earths. A different one for every decision ever made." POTUS whistled. That was a lot of Earths. There was an Earth where he'd had oatmeal for breakfast, and he didn't even like oatmeal.
"So what happened to 789-whatever?"
"Sadly, that version of America hadn't kept current on their policy, and they were harvested. It was a strange planet. You see, they spent all their budget on odd things like tarps, or buying perfectly good cars so they could destroy them so they could buy new cars, or acorns, or Canadian-style healthcare."
"What's a Canadian?" Secret Service Agent Number One whispered to Number Two. Number Two shrugged. Whatever it was, it sounded silly.
I wonder how that America could possibly have gotten in such bad shape, POTUS asked. We were doing awesome until this whole invasion thing.
What I say may shock you, but in my extensive travels across the multiverse, I have seen some truly terrible things. In a few horrible realities, rather than 5 seasons and a trilogy of hit movies, Firefly was canceled after just 1 season, Your Excellency, Tom Stranger explained. Everyone present recoiled in horror. There was never a libertarian space cowboy revolution, and you were never elected.
Impossible! SecDef shouted. Lies!
In that alternate universe, you had a show on their History Channel where you shot watermelons with machine guns, only you didn't have the eye patch. SecDef put on his war face.
Hoorah! Now that would be sweet!
Tom Stranger nodded. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. The claims have been filed, the Horde mothership is in orbit, and I will be meeting with them for arbitration shortly. Thank you for picking Stranger and Stranger for all your interdimensional insurance needs. He clapped his hands twice, and his giant battle robot crashed through the White House's bunker wall. The 50-foot-tall monstrosity of bio-armor and plasma weapons had a single bumper sticker beneath its death ray and napalm sprayer. It read, "You're in strange hands with Tom Stranger."
Thank you, Tom Stranger!
President Baldwin shouted. Tom leapt into the cockpit of his battle mech. It was time to kick ass and adjust claims. Chapter 2. Tom's 10 a.m. Arbitration. The battle seemed to be going well, which made Tom Stranger happy, since even the slightest error could destroy their mech and eject them into the hard vacuum of space. Tom, having been biologically and cybernetically augmented by the finest tech available from 1,000 worlds, would easily survive. But atmospheric reentry was hell on the wardrobe, and he'd worn his favorite bow tie. The charcoal 3-button suit from Men's Warehouse was easily replaceable, since it was a well-known fact that 92% of the cataloged alternative Earths in the multiverse did in fact have Men's Warehouse. But the tie was irreplaceable. He had found it in a thrift store on Home Office World. It was green, with small black polka dots, which his secretary said brought out the color of his eyes, the green of which was actually the color of the holographic targeting system implants. But regardless, it was Tom's favorite bow tie, and blazing through the atmosphere in a 5,000-mile-an-hour fireball would surely destroy it. His new intern probably would not fare too well either. Curious, Tom Stranger turned to the new intern. "What's your rating on the grill's survivability scale?" The GSS was the industry-standard measurement of survivability in unforeseen circumstances. A 1.0 represented the amount of trauma necessary to kill a single Bear Grylls, which was a remarkably consistent measurement across many worlds. Being ejected into space was a solid 4 on the GSS, or enough to kill 4 Bear Grylls, or a single Bear Grylls 4 times. Tom Stranger's GSS was a 142.9. But Stranger and Stranger's newest intern was busy staring out a porthole, holding on to the overhead strap in white-knuckled terror.
"There are space monsters shooting lasers at us!"
"Well, obviously," Tom replied as he steered them around the exploding starship. "That's what our evasive maneuvers and countermeasures are for." The new intern had been rather emotional since he'd come out of cryosleep. Tom checked his infolink. Apparently he was named Jimmy Duquesne and rated a measly 0.07 on the GSS, which was a rating just above that of a standard Earth chicken.
"Purple eyeball monsters, man!"
Jimmy the intern shrieked.
"They're coming right at us!"
"You know, Jimmy, back when I first got into interdimensional insurance, we had to be at least as tough as a space marine. Are you sure you're up for this internship?"
"Dude, man, no way!"
Jimmy turned away from the porthole and vomited, which was an especially bad move in zero-G. Tom activated his personal energy shields to protect his suit from the incoming secondhand nachos. It took Jimmy a moment to compose himself.
"I just needed the last couple credits to graduate. I signed up for insurance agent because it sounded easy. I didn't know about extra dimensions or outer space or nothing."
"And you didn't notice when you went through the Thorn Gate to get to this dimension?"
"I thought all the flashing lights were because my roommate made shroom brownies last night."
"And when we boarded the shuttle back on your Earth 169J00561,
Shuttle? It looked a lot like my older brother's Nissan Pulsar, man. How was I supposed to know?
There were solid rocket boosters mounted on it, Tom pointed out.
I don't know, dude. I thought those were like pontoons or something.
Jimmy seemed to be even dumber than most college interns. Curious, Tom checked his infolink again. Jimmy had only a 1.4 GPA and had majored in something called gender studies. He was from a relatively backwards Earth where the populace had very limited exposure to the multiverse. Plus, Jimmy had attended that reality's Chico state, which explained the sorry condition of both Jimmy's brain cells and liver function. He was beginning to suspect that this intern's placement had been a clerical error. The last time he'd gotten an intern this unprepared, one poor Earth had wound up dominated by a religion based on the 50 Shades of Grey novels. Tom shuddered at the memory.
Jimmy, since you're unfamiliar with interdimensional insurance, you should watch this brief infomercial to acquaint yourself with what we do here at Stranger and Stranger.
Tom activated the hologram. When the glowing images appeared, Jimmy screamed something incoherent about tripping balls. Tom did not understand whose balls he meant or why anyone would trip over them, but then he had to concentrate on their epic space battle while the commercial played in the background. Exterior shot, daytime in a park. Children play on a jungle gym. Happy parents look on. There's giggling and birds singing. Suddenly, a tear appears in the fabric of space and time, and dinosaurs wearing Nazi uniforms spill out onto the playground. Parents scream, and children are plucked from the slide and eaten. Voiceover.
Has this ever happened to you?
Close-up. A doll lies on the ground and is squished beneath a dinosaur foot with a swastika on it. Camera pans back to reveal Tom Stranger.
Hello, I'm Tom Stranger of Stranger and Stranger Interdimensional Insurance. Did you know that more than a million paradoxical Hawking rifts occur every day across the multiverse?
Exterior shot, Statue of Liberty. A giant Cthuloid tentacle horror beast is humping the Statue of Liberty's leg like a deranged poodle. Tom Stranger.
Well, now you know.
Man on the street interview.
It was horrible. One minute we were eating dinner, and the next, this buffed guy wearing a hockey mask and driving a dune buggy crashed through our dining room. He said his name was Lord Humongous. The next thing I knew, I was hanging from a bungee cord having a chainsaw duel against some guy with a bucket on his head. Master Blaster! No! Oh, no!
Tom Stranger appears and pats the sobbing man on the back in a reassuring manner.
There, there.
Tom Stranger looks at the camera,
but because Mr. Lawson here had Stranger and Stranger post-apocalyptic barbarian insurance, he was fully covered.
Cut to interior shot, Thunderdome. Tom Stranger is arguing with Lord Humongous and somebody that looks like Genghis Khan. Hell, it probably is Genghis Khan. Lord Humongous throws his hands up in the air and stomps away, obviously infuriated. Tom Stranger voiceover.
I was able to get Mr. Lawson's dimension fixed back the way it had been, and they even had to pay to vat-grow him some new legs.
Mr. Lawson.
Oh, these new legs are way cooler than my old ones.
Mr. Lawson twirls.
Whee! Thanks, Tom Stranger!
Exterior shot, the playground. Nazi dinosaurs are all trying to do that Heil salute, but it is difficult with their stubby little arms. Tom Stranger falls out of the sky and lands crouched in the middle of the Nazi dinosaurs. They turn to look at him, surprised. Tom Stranger reaches both hands into his suit coat and comes out with an advanced Korea Tech combat wombat pistol in each hand. A Tyrannosaurus with a little mustache roars, but then Hitlersaurus Rex explodes in a shower of blood and meat chunks as a 3mm hypervelocity round strikes it at more than 50,000 feet per second.
Voiceover. Rated number one in consumer service 3 years running, Tom Stranger is here to help.
Exterior shot, Paris. Gritty, shaky cam style. The Eiffel Tower is on fire. It is chaos as an army of My Little Ponies runs through the streets with chainsaws. A mime silently pleads for his life, but is brutally chainsawed by Sparkle Butt. Blood splatters the screen as the camera falls with a clatter.
Voiceover. No one thinks they need interdimensional insurance until it is too late. Don't let this happen to you.
Cut to. A hand wipes mime blood from the camera lens. The camera is picked up, and in the background, a Stranger and Stranger battle mech stomps the stuffing out of Sparkle Butt, then turns to the camera and gives a robotic thumbs up. Tom Stranger sits behind a desk, looking concerned. Think of us as homeowners insurance, but for your dimension. All three of my hearts swell with sadness every time I see a planet destroyed when it doesn't have to be, because here at Stranger and Stranger, we care. Tom Stranger activates a hologram on his desk. He immediately cheers up, and we'll even provide a free rate quote from us and each of our competitors. Close-up of hologram. Stranger and Stranger is billions of dollars cheaper. The next quote is from Conundrum and Company. Tom Stranger mutters as he stares into the hologram. Oh, I hate you, Jeff Conundrum, so very much. You'll pay, Conundrum. I swear you'll pay. Tom remembers he's on TV, turns back to the camera and gives a friendly smile. The hologram fades to black.
Whoa! What the hell did I just watch?
Jimmy asked. However, as the hologram disappeared, his now unobstructed view out the front window showed that they were about to crash into a giant horde space squid. Look out! But Tom simply rammed the monster. Purple guts sprayed across the glass. Tom turned on the wipers to clean off the goo. It left purple streaks, but at least he could see again. Judging by the number of explosions, it was clear that they were rapidly closing on the horde mothership. Excuse me for a moment, I need to call my office, Tom told Jimmy. Not that it mattered, since Jimmy was too busy sobbing incoherently to hear him. Home Office World picked up on the third ring.
You're in strange hands with Stranger and Stranger,
Muffy the secretary sounded bored.
How may we best satisfy your insurance needs today?
Good morning, Miss Wappler. She perked right up. Muffy Sparkles Wappler was a consummate insurance professional and a vital part of his team.
Oh, hey, Mr. Stranger, how's your 10 o'clock arbitration with the Purple People Eaters going?
Fine, he said as they narrowly dodged the death ray. However, I think there's been a mistake with the new intern. Interdimensional insurance is the most demanding and grueling profession in the multiverse, but this one actually has something called a gender study degree.
Wow. Seriously? That's a thing? Some universes are super lame.
Indeed.
Hang on. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's been a mix-up in HR. The doofus you're stuck with was supposed to stay on his world. It says here his last job was occupying a street. That can't be right. Huh. No, it looks like your real intern was accidentally sent to a call center in there, Nebraska, to provide auto insurance quotes.
Well, that explained everything. Thank you, Miss Wappler. That'll be all.
Good luck, Mr. Stranger. Try not to die!
I'm sorry, Jimmy, but according to my secretary, there's been a mistake. Someone else is supposed to be my intern. I'm afraid that Stranger and Stranger only accepts the best.
I'm totally cool with that!
Jimmy screamed as their battle mech bounced off the hull of the Horde mothership. Missiles exploded against their energy shields, but they held long enough for them to rip through an airlock. They were inside. Very well, Jimmy, Tom said patiently as he used the mech's 20mm chain guns to mow down a mob of crazed scrotum harvesters charging at them. Once we're done here, I'll take you back to your home dimension.
How about we go now instead? Jimmy squeaked.
Well, I'm afraid I can't do that. You see, the most important duty of an interdimensional insurance agent is to take care of our customers' needs, no matter the risk, no matter what the cost. I've made a sacred vow that good customer service is more important than my life. And this mission is the deadliest type of all. We'll be lucky to get out of here alive. Jimmy's eyes widened.
Well, what are we doing?
And then he flinched as a floating nacho struck him. Tom lowered his voice to a dangerous hiss. Expect the unexpected. Stay behind me. Stay low. Do not make any noise. Do not make eye contact. And for heaven's sakes, pull up your pants and turn your hat around the correct way. This is arbitration.
Well, howdy, Stranger.
Jeff Conundrum shouted in greeting as Tom Stranger and Jimmy the intern entered the Horde Mothership's conference room.
You...
Tom muttered. Instinctively, his hand moved to the Koreatech Combat Wombat concealed beneath his suit, But Tom hesitated. Blasting Jeff Conundrum into a red mist would be satisfying, but wouldn't necessarily be providing his client with the finest customer service possible.
Howdy, stranger! Get it?
Conundrum was rotund, and as always bore an expression of red-faced, forced joviality. Conundrum's neon blue hair and glowing suspenders offended Tom's conservative senses. His rival interdimensional insurance agent was always loud, always on, and always, always annoying.
That never gets old.
Yes, it does. Tom glared at his nemesis. What are you doing here, Jeff?
Oh, I'm here for the arbitration.
Conundrum jerked one fat thumb at the space alien sitting at the head of the conference table.
Conundrum and company has been hired to represent Gorblog, the Death Slayer.
The space monsters seated around the table were all massive piles of steroid-enhanced muscle, armor plates, and tentacles. But Gorblog was by far the biggest. The Horde King was sitting, but still towered several feet over Tom's average height. Every inch of his purple torso had been tattooed with images of his dark god, Garfield the Cat, and various scenes of Garfield engaging in acts of violence and depravity. Gorblog the Death Slayer stopped absently scratching his back with a running chainsaw long enough to nod his spiked helmet toward Tom.
Sup?
Mr. Gorblog, Tom said politely, your fleet has invaded Earth 345B980181 and committed a series of atrocities including trespassing, vandalism, genocide, and the indiscriminate playing of insane clown posse music in public at extremely high volume. This dimension is covered by Stranger and Stranger. This is a violation of...
Hey, whoa there, stranger in a strange land, Conundrum said, holding up one bloated hand. Save it for the Arbiter.
Tom resisted the urge to blast Conundrum through the bulkhead.
Very well.
Conundrum laughed.
What'd I tell you, Gorblog? Dr. Strangelove here is all business all the time. Boring.
He reached up and slapped the massive Horde King on the back. Gorblog growled, and Conundrum stepped back. Jimmy the intern huddled behind Tom's legs.
Mr. Stranger, his voice was meek. I don't feel so good.
That's probably because of the suboptimal gravity created by the ship's rotation, and the fact that my scans are showing you possess a blood alcohol level sufficient to incapacitate an adult water buffalo.
I'd offer you some refreshment, but you don't take candy from strangers. Am I right? Get it?
Conundrum asked Gorblog, but the alien clearly didn't get it.
Never mind. Have a seat, Tom.
Tom Stranger sighed and pulled up a chair. Conundrum tried to make small talk.
So, Tom, how's your home world?
Totaled.
Oh, that's right. Forgot. Sorry about that.
The Arbiter arrived a few minutes later. Interdimensional insurance agents never knew which galactic arbiter would be assigned to their claim, only that they would always be fair, their judgment wise, and their justice swift. Tom had worked with this particular one before.
All rise,
grunted the alien serving as the bailiff. Everyone did so, including Gorblog, who had to duck to keep from impaling his helmet spikes into the ceiling.
The Honorable Chuck Norris of Earth 872 Roundhouse Kick presiding.
Holy crap, it's Walker, Texas Ranger!
Jimmy cried. Tom kicked Jimmy where he'd been hiding under the table. You didn't want to upset a man so incredibly awesome that they'd renamed his home planet after one of his karate moves. The Arbiter scowled, took off his cowboy hat, and took a seat at the head of the table.
Gentlemen, this is cutting into my total gym time, so let's make this quick. What seems to be the issue?
Tom Stranger cleared his throat as he activated his holographic display.
The Horde has invaded this dimension without provocation. My client planet needs them to leave immediately and seeks damages for the...
Easy there, strangers in the night exchanging glances,
Conundrum interrupted.
This dimension clearly provoked my client. They were just begging for Gorblog's unholy wrath.
Is that true?
Chuck Norris asked.
And I warn you, Mr. Gorblog, I eat space mutants for breakfast. Literally. In fact, I had one on my waffles this morning, so do not test my patience.
Gorblog reached one purple tentacle inside his armored carapace and removed a single Polaroid photo. Chuck Norris took the picture, studied it for a moment, and then passed it to Tom Stranger without comment. The picture showed a white fence with the words, "Space monsters are to suck and lame," spray painted on it.
As you can clearly see, teenagers from this dimension defaced Mr. Gorblog's fence. He had no choice but to destroy their entire planet in reprisal.
Jeff Conundrum stuck his thumbs through his neon-glowing suspenders.
Ergo, all the damages from this invasion are not Mr. Gorblog's fault. In addition, his mental anguish and the suffering from this vandalism requires compensation.
The Horde already ate Europe, Tom said.
I'm still feeling peckish, Gorblog grumbled.
Chuck Norris stroked his manly beard thoughtfully.
I'm afraid Conundrum's got a point, Mr. Stranger. Sounds like your client started it, and as galactic law clearly states, don't start shit if you can't finish it.
Much of the Galactic Code of Laws had been based on the planet of Texas. But Tom Stranger hadn't been given the award for best customer service for 3 years in a row for nothing. He flipped the photo over to hide it from view. So, Mr. Gorblog, this fence of yours that was defaced, what kind was it? The Horde leader swiveled his multitude of eyes over and looked to Jeff Conundrum in confusion. Conundrum seemed surprised at this development.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Answer the question, Chuck Norris ordered.
Gorblog looked back at Tom Stranger.
Pokey? With stabby spikes?
Tom shook his head.
Does it have skulls on it?
Tom shook his head again.
Metal with razors and landmines?
Three strikes.
Tom made a tisk-tisk noise as he passed the photo over to Chuck Norris.
And no touchdown.
That's not how sports work, man,
Jimmy whispered from under the table. The arbiter took one look at the photo and frowned.
This is clearly a vinyl fence, Mr. Gorblog. This photo is staged. Did you just try to fabricate evidence during my arbitration?
I didn't know anything about this, your awesomeness, Conundrum begged.
Chuck Norris slammed his fist into the table because only a wuss needed a gavel.
I haven't been this offended since Jade Helm. I find in favor of Stranger and Stranger's claim. The Horde of Righteous Purification needs to pay for all the damages, pain, and suffering compensation and return to their own dimension immediately. Arbitration is adjourned.
Enough!
Gorblog rose, grabbed the conference table, and flipped it across the room, revealing Jimmy the intern, who screamed and crawled under Chuck Norris's chair.
Foolish humans! Gorblog has no fence! I swear on the soulless void of Arbuckle that you will feel the wrath of Gorblog! Attack!
Tom's targeting eye scanned the 40 enraged Horde monsters and then the structure of the spacecraft itself. I'd suggest keeping small arms fire and energy weapons usage to a minimum, he said to Chuck Norris, or this whole place will come apart.
Fine. Chuck Norris stood and cracked his knuckles. I haven't face-punched anything to death yet today anyway, and it's almost lunch.
Chuck and Tom stood back to back as the slavering mutants surrounded them.
What about your friend?
Tom looked to where Jimmy the intern had assumed the fetal position on the floor and began sucking his thumb and rocking back and forth.
Please try not to trip over him, Mr. Norris. He's new.
The Horde attacked in a screaming wave of tentacles, meat cleavers, and roid rage. Tom pulled one of his cufflinks off and threw it to the deck where it exploded into a cloud of nanobots. The microscopic robots immediately began to devour the first rank of enemies. Tom leapt through the purple cloud of dissolving tissue and melting bones and landed in their midst, where he really got down to business. Tom Stranger moved faster than their many eyes could follow, striking with surgical accuracy and superhuman strength, each blow of his hardened fists sending an opponent flying. Meanwhile, Chuck Norris had responded with sheer badassitude. Tom looked up from decapitating an alien with a length of monomolecular wire to see Chuck Norris roundhouse kick Gorblog's head entirely through his own torso and out his rectum, literally turning the Horde King inside out. Tom's encyclopedic knowledge of biology had not even considered that possible. He automatically updated the Chuck Norris wiki on his infolink. They had been outnumbered 20-1. 13.333 if you counted Jimmy, which Tom did not, since Jimmy had spent the entirety of the battle being kicked back and forth like a fleshy soccer ball, but it was over in seconds. Tom dispatched his final opponent by chopping its head off with the reinforced edge of his hand. The mothership shuddered as a dropship launched from the dock. Tom watched out the window as Jeff Conundrum escaped.
"We'll meet again, Conundrum," he promised.
Chuck Norris dusted off his jeans.
"I got alien on my boots. I think they're ruined," he said flatly,
then spotted Gorblog's corpse and cheered up.
"I think I'll skin that big purple fella there and make me a new pair. Thanks for the assist, stranger."
"Always a pleasure, Mr. Norris," Tom said happily, moving aside as a purple torso fell from the ceiling and splattered on the floor. "Will that be all, then?"
"Don't forget him," Chuck Norris said, pointing at Jimmy. "I think he wet himself. Sheesh, these kids today. Back when I got into interdimensional insurance, you had to have guts."
"It is truly sad, Mr. Norris. Good day."
Tom Stranger grabbed Jimmy by one foot and dragged the incoherent intern down the passageway. Jimmy's crazed babbling struck a chord, and Tom had a sudden thought. Since he'd been given this intern by accident, that meant Stranger and Stranger's proper intern had been accidentally sent to work in a call center. A proper interdimensional insurance agent intern had to be a scholar and a warrior. The thought of somebody with so much potential being chained to the soul-crushing abyss of a call center filled Tom with dread. He dragged Jimmy faster.
"Ow! Hey, dude!"
Jimmy shouted as Tom tossed him through the airlock. "What's the dealio?" Tom Stranger did not know what a dealio was.
"Quickly, Jimmy, we must return to your world."
"Yay!"
"To Nebraska."
"Huh?"
Chapter 3. Tom works through his lunch hour. They were speeding toward the nearest rift when Tom Stranger placed a call to his secretary, Muffy Sparkles Wappler, back in the home office world.
"Ms. Wappler, I've had something come up. Could you let my 12 o'clock know I will be running late?"
Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain will be disappointed if you have to miss lunch again, Mr. Stranger."
"My friends know that I have to put insurance first, but see if they'll order some mammoth for me. Scratch that. Applebee's has the best dodo fingers. If I'm late, just put it in the fridge. I'll microwave it later."
He hated missing out on his regular Thursday client lunch appointment, but this was far too important. Interdimensional insurance was not just a job. It was a calling.
"Could you be a dear and send the paperwork and check over to President Baldwin? The arbiter found the invaders at fault."
"Oh, that's great news, Mr. Stranger."
"And don't forget to remind him that if they fill out our customer satisfaction survey, they'll receive a 5% discount on their next month's premium."
"You did just save their whole planet from total annihilation, sir."
Tom figured that was worth at least a 7 or 8 on the satisfaction survey, but he strove for 10s.
"There's always room to improve our customer service, Miss Wappler."
Tom ended the call. Jimmy, the temporary intern, was strapped into the seat next to him.
"Your secretary sounds smoking hot."
"Muffy Sparkles is an insurance professional. The love of providing good customer service shines through. Of course she is attractive."
"Can't wait to meet her."
Tom thought about opening the airlock so Jimmy would be sucked out into the cold vacuum of space, but it would have been rude to deprive the Nebraska call center of its rightful intern. Tom would never steal from another insurance company in such a disrespectful manner. Jimmy continued trying to make awkward conversation.
"So, dude, like, all that Krav kickboxing Taibo back there, you look all normal, like, mild-mannered and stuff, but then you're all like, pow, boom, ninja flip, and I think you decapitated a dude with your bow tie, and I'm like, whoa, are you a Terminator or something?"
Tom found that grammatically incorrect question to be racist.
"No, I am not. However, I will have you know that some of my best friends are cybernetic organisms, and they would find your language offensive."
Terminators may be living tissue over a metal endoskeleton, but they still have feelings, Jimmy. Not to mention Skynet is a valued customer.
Whoa, chill out, man. I didn't mean nothing by it.
Tom shook his head sadly. In addition to being as survivable as a standard Earth chicken, Jimmy seemed terribly unsuited to provide quality customer service.
So, like, with all this multiverse stuff, pretty much everything we can imagine gets its own universe?
The answer to that profound philosophical question was incredibly complex, requiring advanced mathematical equations to even begin to comprehend the never-ending cosmic dance that stretched the boundaries of human imagination, but since Jimmy wasn't very bright, Tom abbreviated his answer to, "Sure, why not?"
Mind blown!
It turned out Jimmy was full of questions. So, like, if I imagine that dolphins took over, there's an Earth ruled by dolphins?
14, to be exact.
Though Tom did not enjoy doing business with aquatic mammals, they tended to be rather flippant about doing their paperwork correctly. Well, except for manatees. The noble manatee was meticulous and always paid their premiums on time.
So, there's even like a universe where the cubs win the World Series?
Don't be absurd.
There were some limits to probability. What about that fat guy with the neon blue hair on that spaceship? Was he like you?
If they'd not been hurtling through space, Tom would have pulled the giant robot over and given Jimmy a stern talking to. Jeff Conundrum is nothing like me.
Whoa, sounds like you guys got a beef.
Tom was not sure why he would share a cow with his sworn nemesis.
I meant this Conundrum dude is like an interdimensional insurance agent too, right?
I'm afraid so, Jimmy. Only you need to know that the insurance business has a dark side.
Dark? Whoa! You are a friggin' Jedi! I knew it, man! I knew it!
Their customer service is poor.
Just like the Sith!
In Tom Stranger's belief system, poor customer service was the ultimate sin. Sure, Jeff Conundrum was also personally responsible for the totaling of Tom's home universe, but bad customer service was simply unforgivable.
Aw, man, Conundrum can't be that bad. They got really funny commercials.
Jimmy began to sing the Conundrum Company jingle.
Wreck your car, sink your boat, flood your house, leave a sponge inside a patient's brain. Conundrum is there. Look, an ironic caveman. How do we save so much money? Ha! It's a conundrum.
Tom looked wistfully over at the airlock button. It was big, red, and just tempting him to push it. But Tom sighed and continued trying to explain his complex industry to a moron. They avoid payouts. They do not vigorously pursue their clients' best interests. They hide their terrible service with clever marketing to prey upon the gullible. Not only had they brought dishonor onto all interdimensional insurance agents, but Conundrum and Conundrum has grown wealthy across the entire multiverse by doing everything they can to stall or deny their clients' righteous claims.
What's a claim?
Before Tom could push the airlock button, a hologram appeared over the dash. The warning klaxon told him this was an emergency call from one of his biggest clients.
I must take this. It's Korea Tech.
What's a Korea Tech?
Only the most powerful megacorporation in the multiverse.
Like Korea, the country?
No, it is merely pronounced the same way, which is why the CEO purchased the North and South Korea on his home planet and had the countries renamed to avoid confusion.
The countries now known as Kami Jerkface Land and Gangnam Style had not been pleased, but Korea Tech was just that powerful. Luckily, it wasn't the terrifying and merciless interdimensional Lord of Hate himself calling, but rather one of his chief minions. The image of an enormous fish tank formed in the holographic field, floating peacefully inside, was Korea Tech's chief financial officer, Wendell the Manatee. Judging by the lettuce floating in his tank, the CFO had interrupted his lunch to make this call, and that meant it was serious.
Hello, Wendell. Wendell said by way of greeting, but then he got right down to business. Tom was fluent in Manatee as well as 684 other languages. Why, yes, what a fortuitous coincidence. I happen to be on my way to Earth 169J00561 as we speak.
Dude, it's a magic narwhal!
Hoon! Wendell bellowed. Those were fighting words. Forgive Jimmy, he's new. Tom leaned in closer to the hologram and whispered,
He has a gender studies degree.
The manatee gave Tom an understanding nod. Luckily, Wendell knew how difficult it was to find good help nowadays. How can I provide quality customer service to you today, sir?
Me?
Stated Wendell as he chewed his lettuce ominously.
The very gates of hell have opened?
Me?
As usual, Wendell was a courageous voice for fiscal responsibility. Of course such events are fully covered in Korea Tech's comprehensive platinum policy. In fact, I believe this is your 10th paradoxical Hawking event, so your next one is free. Wendell held up a punch card and his flipper, indicating that Tom was correct. Don't worry, I'll take care of everything. Since Wendell's boss was the most important man in the multiverse, he added, and please give my regards to the interdimensional Lord of Hate. As Tom ended the call, he redlined the mech's engines and accelerated to maximum speed. The sudden extra gravities violently squished Jimmy into his seat.
Fuck!
Jimmy managed to gasp through his gritted teeth. That was not from any of the 685 languages Tom was familiar with, but he got the gist of it.
You heard the manatee, Jimmy. We must hurry. Your home reality is in terrible danger.
Chapter 4. Hell comes to Nebraska. Earth 169J00561. Nebraska. Conquancon 14. Violence nearly erupted when a fat man wearing elf ears cut in line in front of an even fatter man dressed as a Klingon. Insults were exchanged in Klingon and Elfish. Shoving ensued. Larry Correa, the novelist, not the CEO of the ultra-powerful megacorporation, looked up from the author's signing table, surely hoping for some good old-fashioned nerd-on-nerd face-punching. Sadly, the shoving match didn't last long, as both men quickly became too winded to continue. Grumbling and out of breath, they got back in line, hoping to get an autograph from the lady that played bystander number 14 in Superman 2, and the authors went back to autographing books.
Crap! I was hoping to see somebody get stabbed with that goofy Klingon sword, Jimmy the intern said to the other convention attendees standing around him.
It's called a batleth,
corrected one of the fans waiting in a different line. The sci-fi fan, or so Tom Stranger assumed, judging by his Starfleet pajamas, regarded Jimmy with barely concealed disdain.
It's a weapon of honor. You would know that if you weren't such a hadaba.
Huh? I believe he is communicating his dislike for you, Tom clarified. Be silent and do not provoke the locals, Jimmy. Satisfied that his temporary intern would not further violate the local customs, Tom went back to patiently waiting his turn to speak to his client. Conquancon 14 was crowded with people in colorful costumes and smelled faintly of an odor known as Confunk. There were several authors signing books at the booth just ahead of them. His client was among them. Tom was eager to get this over with so he could get back to his schedule, but interdimensional insurance agents were unfailingly polite, and terrible impending destruction was no excuse for cutting in line. Luckily, they were next. Larry Correa passed over a freshly signed novel to a waiting fan.
I'm glad you liked it.
Not really.
I thought it was boring and derivative, and I'm just going to sell it on eBay.
The fans scowled as he looked at the title page.
You call that a signature? It looks like a lightning bolt. You suck!
He waddled off, swishing his triple extra-large cape of invisibility for dramatic effect.
Hey, let me personalize that for you, the author shouted after him. I can make it out to my dear friend, Assbag.
Now it was Tom's turn. Hello. Are you the prestigious La Mancha Award-winning fantasy author, Larry Correa?
That's what the sign says.
No. He looked down at the cardboard placard, then turned it around so Larry the writer could see it. It actually says James Gandolfini.
Ah, well, shoot. Con organizers get us confused all the time.
Yes, the resemblance is eerie.
Tom handed him a paperback. Who should I make this out to? Larry the writer readied his signing pen.
Tom Stranger.
To Tom. He made a quick squiggle, drew a happy face with horns, and passed the book back over.
Thank you, Mr. Correa.
Tom Stranger stuck the book into his suit pocket, and it disappeared so cleanly, it was almost as if the pocket was somehow bigger inside than it appeared. His manner turned deadly serious.
Now, come with me if you want to live.
The large, bald author stared at him stupidly.
Huh?
Tom had to remind himself that Jimmy's home reality was backwards and not overly familiar with the greater multiverse. He handed over a business card, and his client seemed rather impressed. Probably because, unlike most business cards received at cons, this one was not printed at home, nor did it have any unicorns on it. It looked professional. Interdimensional insurance,
That is correct. I'm afraid that a rift has occurred here at ConQuanCon 14 Science Fiction and Fantasy Convention event. You are covered by Stranger and Stranger, so I must protect you.
That's great. It was apparent that Larry the writer was just humoring him. Tom did not take offense. Lame dimensions were not familiar with his career field. It was nice to meet you, but I'm super busy. Next!
I am the only person left in line.
Ouch. Larry the writer looked past Tom and confirmed that this was true. He sighed. Still not a real writer. Look, Tom, you've got the wrong guy. I've never bought interdimensional insurance.
No, but the Larry Correa of Earth 686 Gamma 13006 has purchased our comprehensive plan, thereby indemnifying all Larry Correas in existence across the known multiverse.
Sounds expensive.
Indeed, Tom Stranger explained. It is exceedingly expensive. In fact, the annual premium is greater than the GDP of most planets. The Larry Correa of that reality is extremely wealthy.
Larry nodded appreciatively. He must have had a few more New York Times bestsellers than I have. Ah, damn it. I knew I should have branched out into Scottish time travel romance.
Tom Stranger shook his head. No, he does not write books, though he does have a popular webcomic about an anthropomorphic moose that solves mysteries. That is not the source of his wealth, though. It is more of a hobby, as I understand it. Oh, rather, that Larry Correa is the founder of Koreatech, which has revolutionized warfare across the entire multiverse. He is commonly considered the greatest genius of all time, having invented the inertial dampener, the cold fusion miniaturized power cell, and no wrinkle slacks.
That's kind of surprising. I'm not really that technically minded.
Tom checked his wiki. That was an understatement. This reality's version of his client was so mechanically inept that he had once accidentally set his Chevy Caprice on fire inside his own garage while trying to change the water pump. The primary difference that my info link can discern between you and that particular Larry Correa is that he attended a college physics lecture that you missed. Inspired, that version immediately invented the world's first energy shield using only a box of wheat thins and a medium-sized Holstein cow. You, on the other hand, missed that class because you had somehow gotten your head stuck in a mailbox.
Yeah, I remember that. Good times, good times. Wait a second. How do you know about that? The great mailbox incident of 97 was so embarrassing that I'd never posted about it on the internet. And you weren't one of the responding paramedics. You must be from the future.
No, not the future, but rather another dimension. Now, quickly, Mr. Correa. We must get you out of here. The demonic invasion has already begun. Luckily for you, I was already on my way to this Nebraska to pick up my correct intern. Allow me to introduce my temporary intern, Jimmy Duquesne.
Tom turned around, but there was no one behind him.
I seem to have misplaced my intern. Darn it, Jimmy, where have you wandered off to now?
Suddenly, there was a scream from one of the game rooms. A man stumbled out into the hallway covered in blood. His clothing was in tatters, his hands were twisted into razor-sharp talons, and his glowing red eyes bulged out of his skull as he gnashed the air with his fangs. He lurched into the crowd, howling as he began to claw madly at the other attendees. "Damn LARPers," muttered the writers, thinking they owned the place.
"Nice costume,"
somebody dressed as Sailor Moon told the demonic live-action role-player. The LARPer's head rotated all the way around in a complete circle like The Exorcist.
"Cool effect!"
But then it was too late, as Sailor Moon was dragged to the ground in a spray of entrails and giant yellow hair extensions. Larry the writer seemed rather shocked.
"I don't think that's a costume!"
When a lung flew over and knocked over a cardboard cutout of R2-D2, that pretty much confirmed it.
"What the hell?"
Tom Stranger reached into his suit and withdrew his sidearm. The small but extremely awesome Koreatech Combat Wombat was the finest combat implement ever designed. He aimed, and the demon exploded into a cloud of meat. Blood splattered the walls and attendees. Unfortunately, the other congoers who'd been scratched were already mutating.
"It's like a bad 80s Italian horror movie!"
"It appears that I've arrived too late,"
Tom Stranger stated as the blood cloud rained down. He put one hand to his ear.
"Hello, Miss Wappler. Could you please postpone my 1 o'clock?
The surviving con attendees were trapped and terrified. The main hall and game rooms had already fallen before the fearsome onslaught. The demons had swept through the convention, spreading death and mutant cooties. The remaining geeks, authors, gamers, and fanboys of ConQuanCon 14 were making their final stand and had barricaded the green room door with a pallet of self-published comic books, temporarily stopping the demons' advance, but they could hear the mad scratching of their instantly infectious claws on the other side. "Those comic books won't hold forever," Larry the writer stated with grim finality.
"They're graphic novels,"
corrected the comic book author with a sniff. He adjusted his beret.
"They're about man's inhumanity to man and our existential struggle for..."
"Crap, dude, whatever, fine. Those graphic novels won't hold forever." He looked over at the last folks who'd made it in before they'd sealed the door.
"What's it like out there?"
The girl in stormtrooper armor was really shaken up.
"The monsters attacked the room holding the panel. On writing space alien on human love scenes, it devolved into how to write Kirk on Spock slash Vic. It was horrible."
"The panel discussion or the demons?"
"The demons, mostly."
She began to sob.
"Oh, John, Ringo, no!"
"Keep it together, Trooper. We need to think of a plan. Has anybody seen Tom Stranger?" The other refugees exchanged confused glances. "Average guy, average height, average looking, has a bow tie, awesome laser pistol."
"Oh, that guy."
Ajawa pointed at the barricade. Or maybe it was a short dude wearing a robe made out of brown carpet, but the LED light eyeballs were a cool touch.
"He stayed out there, said something about having to find his intern."
"Crap. I barely found out I've got an interdimensional insurance agent, and I've already lost him. He seemed so polite and eager to provide good customer service, too.
We're on our own."
Luckily, Larry the writer had been preparing his entire life for the zombie apocalypse, so this wasn't a complete bummer. He'd been to worse cons. Way worse.
"Okay, we're gonna need weapons."
One of the Society for Creative Anachronism people stepped forward and lifted his sword.
"Thou doth knowest of our exquisite blades and skills, me lord. The foul denizens of Hades shall taste our steel. Huzzah!"
Everybody else wearing a tunic or chainmail also yelled, "Huzzah!" He estimated at least a dozen huzzahs, which was certainly an above-average number of huzzahs.
"We may slay these beasts if we can but liberate our stores in the marketplace and thus arm the entire vanguard with halberds and falchions."
"What are sandwiches and birds supposed to do?"
The SCA guy switched back to normal English. His name tag read Sir Galen. "I said there are a bunch of axes and swords over in the sales room. If we grab those, we can kill the snot out of those douche nozzles."
Now that Larry could understand.
"Okay, you guys go do that while the rest of us do something useful. I meant, who's got real weapons?" It turned out most of his fans had concealed weapons permits, as did everyone in a Jane Cobb hat.
One of them even had smuggled in an AK-47.
Damn! How'd you get that in here?
Well, you know, I stuck some gears on it and told security it was part of a steampunk costume.
Excellent. We're gonna have to kill every last one of these things if we're...
Hey, who put you in charge?
Asked an exceedingly large woman wearing a Team Jacob t-shirt.
That's Tony Soprano, don't piss him off,
hissed her friend in the Team Edward shirt. Listen, lady, if we're gonna live, we've gotta fight.
Violence never solved anything,
the Jacobite answered with a grim finality of a hippie who'd never once read a history book. Ever.
I say we hide here until help comes. We've got food.
She pointed at the green room table that had a bowl of M&Ms and a plate of Ritz crackers reserved for the guests. Little did people realize how many secret perks there were to being a writer. Suddenly there was a rumble from the ceiling. The tiles broke apart and dust rained down. Immediately the fans began to engage the hole with small arms fire. But Tom Stranger popped out of the hole and dropped to the floor, dragging another person with him. The bullets sparked harmlessly off of his Korea Tech personal energy shield, which made Larry the Writer realize that he really should have paid more attention in college.
Cease fire! Cease fire! That's my insurance agent!
The wild gunfire tapered off. Tom Stranger brushed the plaster dust from his suit coat. Please excuse my rude interruption. I had to rescue my intern. He frowned at the pathetic slob of a young man in his stained Chico t-shirt lying on the floor. I told you not to wander off.
But, Mr. Stranger, we're at a con. There are girls in costume. Girls in costume!
Tom Stranger didn't respond.
Chainmail bikinis, leather corsets, and Princess Leia, man! And some of them have really low self-esteem. I had to work my magic. You know what I'm saying?
Is he drunk?
Usually. Jimmy, this is the client, Mr. Correa. This is Jimmy Duquesne.
Dude, you were awesome as that gay hitman in The Mexican.
There was a sudden crash at the door, hard enough to shake all the graphic novels, followed by a sanity-rending scream of hate and sheer crankiness.
What's that?
Someone dressed as Dr. Horrible cried.
They've summoned a Balrog.
Tom Stranger stated with a grim finality.
It is a nearly unstoppable force of evil. I would estimate it is at least a 200 on the Grills survivability scale.
Larry whistled.
That's a lot of Bear Grylls's. Why don't you just shoot it with your fancy laser pistol?
Tom Stranger shook his head.
I lost it trying to save Jimmy from a demon.
Jimmy got upset.
Demon? But she seems so into me. Are you sure she was a demon?
I thought perhaps her tail or bat wings would have been a clear indicator, but you are a remarkably unobservant little man.
Tom Stranger turned back to his client.
I have many Korea Tech devices on my person, but only my combat wombat is powerful enough to pierce the netherhide of a greater demon. I will have to retrieve it. It was by the swag table.
The Balrog crashed into the door again. They wouldn't have a chance in the enclosed space of the green room. Larry the Writer looked across the sea of congoers and saw grim determination on their pasty faces. It was time to go on the offensive.
Are you guys ready? Let's do this! Nebraska is counting on us! Can I get a huzzah?
Sir Galen shouted.
Huzzah! They shouted in return. I can't hear you! Huzzah!
Even Larry the Writer was getting really psyched up, and this universe's Larry really didn't like to do cardio.
Let's go kick some demon ass!
But by the time the angry mob turned around, they saw that the pallet of graphic novels, had been shoved out of the way and the green room door was open. While they'd been trying to build enthusiasm for a suicidally futile noble gesture, Tom Stranger had simply walked out and started beating the ever-living hell out of a bunch of demonic mutants. And apparently you had to be a serious badass to be an interdimensional insurance agent, because Tom Stranger was absolutely massacring them. The fans and authors watched in amazement as Tom fought his way through 24 zombified Deadpools.
Man, that is some Wu-Tang Crouching Tiger Shaolin Temple stuff right there!
I know, right?
Jimmy the intern said. Oh, you should have seen him with Walker, Texas Ranger, this morning. But Tom Stranger couldn't beat up an entire convention center full of monsters by himself, and Jimmy had apparently caught the interdimensional insurance agent spirit.
Frickin' huzzah, bitches! Charge!
Jimmy made it all of 10 feet before he was clotheslined by a zombie fury in a panda costume. But the rest of the fans followed his valiant lead.
It was hard to see what happened next because the Khan descended into a hyper-violent, blood-soaked melee. It turned out all those LARPers were just waiting for an excuse to wreck face with real swords because shit got real. It seemed the congoers were doing pretty good, maybe even winning, up until the part where the Balrog moseyed up and started popping nerds into his mouth like they were gummy bears. As they retreated, Sir Galen bravely placed himself in front of the flaming supermonster, planted his sword into the floor, and shouted, "You shall not pass!" Then he turned around and looked back at the others. I always wanted to say that. It was so metal that Larry the Rider had to throw the horns. But then the Balrog kicked Sir Galen through the convention center wall. The Balrog was 30 feet tall, on fire, and frankly, kind of a dick. But right before it could squish the rest of the attendees, Tom Stranger appeared. He'd gotten his fancy laser pistol back and used it to kneecap the Balrog. The monster roared as lava blood splattered out of the hole, setting the carpet and the Panda Fury that Jimmy was still wrestling with on fire. Foom! And there went the other knee. The Balrog toppled, hitting the floor so hard that the whole convention center shook. Tom Stranger walked around in front of the crippled monster. It glared at him with flaming eyeballs. Holy crap! Insurance agents are awesome! So what now? Are you going to exercise it or cast it back into hell or something? Larry the Rider was taking notes. This was fiction writing gold. But instead, Tom Stranger holstered his pistol, approached the beast, and pulled out a pen and some paperwork. We need to exchange insurance provider information. The Balrog tried to act offended.
Hey, I'm not at fault here. Someone fired up my hell gate and their dimension just came out of nowhere right in front of it. I couldn't stop my legions of the damned in time.
This dimension clearly had the right of way. Oh, let me guess. You're uninsured. The gigantic demon looked away sheepishly.
Well, this is embarrassing. Yeah.
The confession seemed to sadden Tom Stranger.
You can't just go blundering around the multiverse uninsured.
Oh, I had liability, but Conundrum and Company dropped me. I was only late on one payment.
Conundrum? Tom snorted. Well, there's your problem right there. A greater demon obviously requires full coverage for his hellish armies. This collision is really going to cost you.
Darn it, the mighty beast rumbled. I can't afford any more points on my realm.
The flames started by the Balrog's lava blood were spreading up the convention center's walls.
Excuse me, Tom, Larry the Rider called out. The place is burning down.
Of course, Mr. Correa. One moment. He turned back to the Balrog. Listen, get your hellspawn back to your dimension, free the damned souls from their eternal torment, and then call my office. Tom handed over one of his cards. It immediately caught fire when the demon pinched it between his massive claws.
Once you've paid for this mess, let's set up a consultation.
Stranger and Stranger offers a Neither Realms protection package that's not only a great value, but also covers inadvertent possession.
What about locust plagues?
The demon asked as Tom Stranger walked away.
Or ravens made of congealed blood, plucking the eyes from infants?
Tom Stranger put his thumb to his ear.
Call me.
The insurance agent paused long enough to pick up Jimmy, the intern, by his belt so that he could carry him like a suitcase, and then began to flee through the flaming wreckage. Once they were far enough away that the Balrog couldn't overhear, Tom looked over at his client and scoffed.
Huh, liability only, that is so irresponsible.
Yeah, demons are cheesy,
Larry the Rider coughed as he was overcome by smoke. He managed to croak,
cheap bastards!
Before passing out. Tom sighed as he was forced to carry his temporary intern and his client. A giant flaming beam almost fell on them as they escaped. It was all very dramatic as Tom carried them both from the ruins of Khan Kwan Khan 14. Tom left Larry the Rider in the parking lot with the other stunned survivors, gave him some forms to fill out, and then disappeared as mysteriously as he'd arrived. The interdimensional insurance agent had just saved their lives and probably the whole planet. Which was why later, Larry the Rider gave Tom all 10s on his customer satisfaction survey. Chapter 5. Tom and Jimmy's Big Call Center Adventure. It had been an extremely busy day. Tom had already been able to provide quality customer service twice, but he'd also been forced to postpone his other appointments. He needed to get his intern mix-up taken care of so that he could get back on schedule, and according to his directions, they would be landing at their destination soon. Tom could get his proper intern, and Jimmy could get on with, well, whatever it was that Jimmy did. "We will reach your correct employer shortly, Jimmy, but do not worry. I will explain the mistake to them so that you do not get off on the wrong foot with your new insurance masters. Some firms can be rather harsh. It was not uncommon for rookies to commit ritual seppuku back when I was but a lowly intern at Mufuni and Eastwood."
"Wow! Really, Mr. Stranger? You were an intern? That's hard to imagine with you being such a badass and all."
Tom had to check his info link to see why Jimmy was comparing him to a disobedient donkey. It turned out that it was meant as a compliment.
"Thank you, Jimmy, but all insurance agents must start somewhere. It takes decades of rigorous training in order to become proficient at interdimensional insurance. It is a solemn calling, meant only for the most stalwart of souls."
"Well, how did you get into this?"
Tom's home reality had been uninsured and had paid a terrible price.
"For some, there comes a time when the multiverse needs help and you must peer deep into your soul and discover your inner insurance agent."
"Do you think I could ever be an interdimensional insurance agent?"
"No!"
Tom had turned around and said that so fervently that he had nearly crashed their battle mech.
"Aw, come on! You just said everybody has to start somewhere! I'm somewhere!"
Tom blinked a few times.
"You saw the way I was kicking that panda's ass. I had him right where I wanted him. I was like, all boom, bitch, and it was like, ah!"
Jimmy pantomimed what was probably supposed to have represented fighting moves.
"It was wicked cool!"
"In truth, it looked like you were having a grand mal seizure."
"Dude, harsh."
Jimmy was correct in his assessment of harshness. Insurance agents should always be truthful, but never impolite.
"I apologize, Jimmy. I am very sorry and did not intend to hurt your feelings. What I meant to say is that interdimensional insurance is an extremely difficult job, and that because of your general lack of intelligence, courage, commitment, integrity, physical fitness, character, communication skills, work ethic, and hygiene, you might not be the best fit for such a position."
His temporary intern sulked. Tom was not very good at apologies.
"Huh. I could totally do anything if I put my mind to it, Mr. Stranger, even be an insurance agent."
That was doubtful. There was a common misconception among people with pampered origins that they could coast through life carefree, but then when they actually faced a real challenge, they would somehow be able to rise to the occasion if they simply believed in themselves hard enough. It was known as Kung Fu Panda Syndrome. But in most realities, regardless of how much self-esteem someone had, the fatty still got trounced by the warrior who had spent his whole life beating up ninjas and punching boulders under a waterfall. Most interdimensional insurance agents hailed from worlds where children had to work hard just not to be devoured by cave bears. Jimmy came from a culture that gave out trophies for participation. An insurance agent had to start out quick-witted and then further hone his mind to razor sharpness. Jimmy had $100,000 of student loan debt and had occupied a street for weeks, hoping somebody else would pay for it. When Tom was 10 years old, a horrible paper route accident had left him stranded alone on Mars, where he'd been forced to perform his own emergency appendectomy with nothing but a melon baller. Under the headline Skills, Jimmy's resume included Twitter. Tom's multiverse-spanning career had left him with a keen understanding of probability. Truly, anything was possible, but some things remained extremely unlikely. In other words, he wasn't going to place any bets on Jimmy Duquesne making the cut to be an interdimensional insurance agent.
"Perhaps you should try this call center position first and see how that works out for you. It will be like dipping your toe into the giant pond that is insurance."
"Sure, whatever," Jimmy muttered.
Thankfully, they had reached their destination. To avoid causing any further chaos in this ignorant and backwards reality, Tom landed the Stranger and Stranger battlemech in the trees behind the call center. They would walk the rest of the way. It was a beautiful sunny afternoon. Birds chirped. The air smelled of corn. Jimmy grumbled under his breath and kicked at rocks the whole way. The call center was a large, unadorned, windowless, concrete building. There were no signs advertising what the place was. Tom found that odd. Insurance professionals were normally extremely proud of what they did. Most insurance offices had holograms or giant inflatable gorillas. Something was off here. Tom himself was not the flashy type, but even his office at least had a sign with his name on it. His sign was white with block print, because Tom did not like to put on airs. Tom checked his infolink. According to the internship records, this call center belonged to a company called Fail State. They were a relatively unknown player in the great galactic game of insurance. He activated an AI sprite and turned it loose in the Universal Datasphere to dredge up more information on Fail State as they went inside. The lobby was almost as plain as the exterior. There were a few potted plants, and a security guard who was nearly as interesting as the potted plants.
This place is lame.
For once, Tom was in total agreement with young Jimmy. He approached the slovenly security guard at the desk.
Hello, good sir. I am Tom Stranger.
The nano-fabricator in his pocket instantly printed a business card, and Tom handed it over.
This is Jimmy the intern, who I am delivering to you for educational purposes. May we speak to a member of your management?
The security guard read the business card, and then looked Tom over with dull pig eyes. He grunted and pointed at a clipboard.
They've been expecting you. Sign here.
Tom signed his name and the in time. It was the only signature on the visitor's sheet. Insurance facilities should be bustling, exciting places. This call center seemed suspiciously dead.
Go on in.
The security guard pushed a button, and the door behind him emitted a buzzing noise. It was dark on the other side.
I'm scared, Mr. Stranger. Don't worry, Jimmy. I'm sure everything will be fine.
Tom and Jimmy entered the call center. The heavy door slammed shut behind them. The fluorescent lights on the other side slowly flickered to life.
The scene before them was one of abject, soul-crushing misery.
Tiny cubicles seemed to stretch on for eternity. Squished between the carpeted walls of each cube was an employee, wearing a headset and staring at a monitor.
What are they doing?
Jimmy whispered fearfully. Tom walked to the nearest cubicle. Once he got closer, he could overhear the employee crammed into the cubicle speaking.
Hello, Mr. Smith. I'm calling about an exciting new offer. Yes, I know I'm interrupting your dinner, but it is a super exciting new offer.
They were making cold calls. They were harassing innocent people in their homes. Telemarketing was the greatest evil in all of insurance, and had been banned on all sane worlds.
Abomination,
Tom hissed. He went to the next cubicle.
This is Lisa with Fail State? Oh, you're on a do not call list? Well, I'll be super happy to update our records.
But Lisa pushed no buttons on her computer.
Lies,
Tom Stranger exclaimed. Fail State would continue to call that poor person over and over and over for eternity.
Oh, you're unsatisfied and would like to speak to my supervisor. No problem, said one of the employees, only he didn't pass the call to someone else.
Instead, he just changed his voice, made it sound deeper, and started talking again.
This is the supervisor.
A real supervisor, you could tell by the bullwhip in his hand, stopped at an adjoining cube.
Way to hassle those innocents, Tim, but your English is way too good. If they can clearly understand everything you say, you're doing it wrong. On this next one, I want you to make up a terrible accent.
Okay, sir,
Tim said. His computer screen read Faulkner. He pushed the button to make another call.
Is Mr. Faulkner home?
The accent was horrible and incomprehensible.
Excellent,
the supervisor crowed. The idea of his real intern being trapped here shook Tom to the very core of his insurance-loving soul.
What is this place?
Jimmy asked, terrified.
I think we may be in hell.
Tom's infolink chirped. The data had been heavily encrypted, but the AI sprite had found some information on the call center. Tom gasped.
No, it can't be.
What's wrong, Mr. Stranger?
Fail State is a wholly owned subsidiary of Conundrum and Company.
Suddenly, a voice boomed over the intercom. That's right, perfect strangers, and I've been expecting you! Hidden autocannons fired. Tom activated his personal energy shield, but he was too late and several darts pierced his suit. Powerful neurotoxins flooded his system. To add insult to injury, they dropped a giant net on him. Tom was barely able to shove Jimmy out of the way before becoming hopelessly entangled.
Curse you, Jeff!
Tom shouted, shaking his fist at the ceiling. Where is my real intern? Conundrum did his best supervillain laugh.
There never was a real intern, Tom. The whole thing was my clever plot to get you out of the picture. I'm tired of you always making me look bad.
You make yourself look bad, Jeff.
There you go again, with that holier-than-thou attitude. Nobody likes a smartass, Tom!
The nanites in his blood were fighting off the poison, but Tom was rapidly losing consciousness. This potent mix must have been genetically engineered specifically for him. It had to be strong enough to drop at least 100 Bear Grylls's. Terribly disoriented, Tom fell to his knees. Mr. Stranger! Jimmy yelled as he futilely plucked at the net. He grabbed Tom's suit and tried to pull him free, but Jimmy wasn't coordinated enough to accomplish much.
Didn't your mother tell you never to talk to strangers? Guards, seize him!
Conundrum bellowed over the intercom. Several guards appeared, clubbed Jimmy hard enough to knock off his trucker hat, and dragged him away.
I made sure you got an intern so idiotic that you'd have no choice but to rush here. You walked right into my cunning trap.
You'll never get away with this, Jeff.
Oh, but I will, and with you out of the way this year, I'm finally going to be ranked number one in customer satisfaction.
No!
Jimmy the intern woke up sitting in a crappy office chair inside a tiny carpeted cubicle. He was groggy, had a splitting headache, and couldn't remember how he'd gotten there. But for Jimmy, that was pretty normal. When he tried to get up, he realized that he was chained to the office chair. The first thing Jimmy did was make sure he still had both kidneys. Phew! That was a relief.
Hey, rookie!
Said a voice. Jimmy turned around and saw a supervisor with a bullwhip. And then it all came rushing back to him. He was trapped in an evil insurance call center and Tom Stranger had been captured. This day had really sucked.
Okay, Jimmy. Let me catch you up. You're property of Conundrum and Company now, and beatings will continue until morale improves.
Jimmy laughed. The supervisor didn't.
Oh, I thought it was like a meme.
Nope, the supervisor pointed at the equipment. You'll wear the headset at all times. If you get caught taking the headset off, that's what Betsy here is for.
The supervisor patted a big stainless steel staple gun on his belt. That sounds like it would hurt.
Getting wood staples put in your skull would hurt, you think? The supervisor shouted. But it won't hurt as much as when I have to super glue your eyelids open. You can blink on your own time. The rest of the time, eyes on the screen.
Jimmy hurried and swiveled his chair back toward the monitor. It was covered in names, private personal information, and what would be the absolutely most inconvenient times to call and bug them. So, of course, that was when the calls were scheduled for.
What about bathroom breaks? There's a bucket under the desk.
Jimmy shrugged. He'd occupied Wall Street. He was good at improvised pooping.
What is that fat blue-haired guy going to do to Mr. Stranger?
The boss is going to kill that goody-two-shoes. Serves him right. All day long, we're calling people, and they're like, meh, 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 we're happy with Stranger and Stranger and don't want to switch. Well, screw those guys. We have better commercials, right?
Right.
But Jimmy wasn't feeling very enthusiastic.
Just so you know, calls may be monitored for training purposes. Ha! Just messing with you there. There is no training. We just turn you maladjusted rage monkeys loose to terrorize the populace. Shake enough trees and some suckers are bound to fall out.
We just record the calls so we can find little things to yell at you talentless dorks for.
I'm not talentless. I have a gender study degree, Jimmy squeaked. Oh, you think that makes you special? Look around you. He gestured at the thousands of cubicles. So do a lot of these mooks. Where do you think all the people with useless, expensive degrees end up after college, Jimmy? He lowered his voice to a dangerous whisper. Call centers.
Jimmy began to cry. His parents had tried to talk him into honest work like accounting or decorative beadwork. He should have listened to them.
I only got into that major because it was supposed to be super easy and I wanted to impress chicks by being all sensitive and stuff. Only the girls were all bossy. All they ever did was complain about man-spreading and the patriarchy. Oh, man, I don't even know what a patriarchy is.
The patriarchy can't save you now, Jimmy, because you're here forever.
The supervisor cracked the whip. Now start calling some fools. Every day you meet your quota, you get a fresh bucket. Tom Stranger found himself chained to a wall in a dungeon. He had been in a lot of dungeons over the years. This one was actually rather nice, with hand-cut stone walls, vintage wall torches, a rather extensive collection of exotic torture devices, and could it be?
Are those real giant plague-carrying rats?
I had them flown in special just for you, Jeff Conundrum replied.
They set a certain ambiance.
That was just like Conundrum. Go cheap on paying claims and then blow all the profits on a top-of-the-line torture dungeon.
So here's the dealio, strangers on a train. We're going to kill you eventually, and it is going to be really painful, but we're going to torture the names of your client list out of you first.
That is proprietary information. An interdimensional insurance agent would never share such things and violate their client's privacy.
Jeff snorted. I opened a portal to the netherworld at a science fiction convention already today. Do I look like I give a crap about not sharing clients' private information? As soon as one of my goons gathers somebody's info for a rate quote, I sell their secrets to the most ludicrously evil organizations I can find, like the KGB or Google.
The attack on ConquanCon, that was you?
Well, yeah. I wasn't covering those demons anymore, so I didn't have to worry about liability. I figured best-case scenario, I could zombify most of Nebraska and use them as call center employees. Oh, just imagine the savings.
That is evil. Even for you, Jeff. Conundrum was obviously proud of himself.
Oh, you've not seen anything yet, Tommy boy. Without you meddling, I'm gonna revolutionize the insurance business. Heck, in this reality's America, I got them to make health insurance mandatory, which made it more expensive, and then you can get fined for not having it.
But that doesn't even make any sense. He grinned.
I know, right? It's a conundrum.
Tom tugged on his chains, but they were too strong, and he was too injured to escape.
Well, it's been fun, but I got work to do. Jeff gestured at the waiting goon squad of professional torturers. These guys are going to mess you up now. They're the best torturers in the business. The guy in the black hood, he's even a consultant on Eli Roth movies.
Impressive.
Conundrum snapped his fingers as he walked away. Get to work, boys.
I'll never talk, Conundrum.
Oh, yeah, you'll talk, believe me. Start with this bow tie.
Jeff Conundrum was super evil. A couple of hours of soul-crushing cold calling later, Jimmy Duquesne was about to break. He just couldn't take it anymore. This internship sucked balls. Now, Stranger and Stranger, that had been a sweet internship. Sure, he'd been super confused or thought he was going to die for most of it, but it had never been boring. Mr. Stranger was a cool boss. Plus, a giant flying Gundam robot was a dope ride.
Jimmy figured that interdimensional insurance agents got all the chicks. He didn't know what it paid, but Mr. Stranger always had that pimp men's warehouse look going on, so he had to be rolling in the Benjamins. He also felt kind of bad that Mr. Stranger was going to get murdered and figured he should do something about that. But he also didn't want to get his headset stapled on permanently, so he dared not move from his cubicle. Jimmy risked looking over his shoulder. There was no sign of the call center supervisor. He'd wandered off to yell at someone else. Now was his chance to save the day. It was time to look inside himself and find his inner insurance agent. What would Tom Stranger do? Probably some badass karate shootery, but his earlier claims to the contrary, Jimmy knew he was lacking in that department. He had once lost a fight to a troop of Girl Scouts. In his defense, he thought those Thin Mints were free samples, and he'd tried to explain that through a mouthful of delicious cookies, but that hadn't stopped the hail of tiny, unforgiving fists, and they'd chased him from the mini-mall. So, he wasn't much of a fighter, but Jimmy had snagged Mr. Stranger's bitchin' laser pistol when he tried to get him out of that net, so there was that. Jimmy pulled the Korea Tech Combat Wombat out of his pants. Sadly, everything Jimmy knew about guns, he'd learned from Call of Duty, and this thing had all sorts of buttons, switches, and levers on it. Since it could blow up dinosaurs, Jimmy was smart enough to not point it at any of his body parts. He thought about checking online to see if there was an instruction manual, but he knew Conundrum & Company monitored their call center employees' internet use. Some dude in the next cubicle over had been caught playing Candy Crush Saga, and when he'd gotten caught, it had been Staple and Bullwhip City. Luckily, Jimmy noticed a tiny button on the back of the pistol that had help on it. When he pushed it, a cool, heavy metal riff played, and then a holographic logo formed, shimmering in the air. Welcome to the Korea Tech Combat Wombat Plasma Laser Particle Beam Missile and Explosive Projectile System 4.0. Now with 70% more Wombat. Please check out our other exciting Korea Tech products like Power Glove, Robo Bear, A Sound That Kills Atomic Pen, Tentacle Proof Underwear, or Space Axe. Click here to learn more. Jimmy was still getting used to all this groovy sci-fi stuff. A little hologram of a big dude materialized. He was cut, like super ripped. He probably did CrossFit, and had a long, flowing, glorious mane of hair worthy of a Whitesnake video. He was smoking a cigar and had a voice like thunder.
Hi, I'm Larry Correa. You may know me as the ultra-powerful interdimensional Lord of Hate, or from my hit webcomic, The Yard Moose Chronicles. Welcome to this Korea Tech instructional video. Warning, Korea Tech products are not intended for use by sissies, liberals, or crybabies. Now, word from our manatee. Take it away, Wendell.
The super handsome buff guy disappeared, and a tiny holographic manatee appeared floating in Jimmy's cubicle. It bellowed.
Shh, shh, Jimmy looked round in panic. Hopefully the supervisor hadn't heard. Keep it down, dude!
But it was just a recording. The imaginary laser manatee couldn't actually hear him. It proceeded to give instructions on how to use Combat Wombat. Luckily, Jimmy found the volume controls and got it turned way down. Oh, that had been close. Only a bunch of other employees had heard the manatee's instructions, and their heads automatically popped up over the tops of their cubicles like a bunch of prairie dogs who had sensed danger. He was made. The holographic manatee was holding a Combat Wombat in its flippers. It pushed a button and launched some missiles. Floop! Another button, and it was throwing lightning bolts. Hoon! Jimmy was trying to keep up, but he knew he was running out of time. But sadly, he didn't speak manatee. There was an option for subtitles in other languages. Jimmy selected that and began scrolling through the available languages.
Darn it, no! I don't speak Gangnam Style!
This was all very frustrating.
Oh, wait! There's English!
He tried to select his native language, but he fat-fingered the button and the manatee started yelling at him in German.
Nein!
The manatee wagged one flipper disapprovingly over the kill everything button.
Nein, nein, nein!
Of course, he'd had to go and pick the shoutiest language ever. The other employees were loudly muttering about how somebody else got to watch YouTube and how come they couldn't. A bullwhip cracked. The supervisor was coming back down the aisle. Jimmy hadn't actually read the employee handbook, but dinking around with weapons of mass destruction at work had to be way worse than Candy Crush. Jimmy had to get out of here. Fast. He tried to stand up, only to forget he was still chained to the chair.
Clank!
Then he realized that the chair had wheels.
So Jimmy began to kick his feet against the carpet. He rolled himself out into the aisle. It wasn't exactly a high-speed getaway, but it was a start. As Jimmy shuffle-kicked furiously backwards down the hall, the helpful manatee continued to educate him on how to use the ultra-deadly combat wombat. "Okay, let's do this!" The holographic Wendell covered his eyes with his flippers. Jimmy flipped a lever and yanked the trigger. A brilliant blue beam instantly burned a flaming hole through 100 cubicles, lanced up the ceiling, and blasted a hole through the roof. Sparks and flaming debris rained down. He hadn't meant to do that. The manatee made it look so easy. The supervisor saw him and gave chase.
"Where do you think you're going, dumbass?"
"Oh, crap!" The office chair was hurtling along at a staggering 1, maybe even 2 miles an hour.
"Schnell! Schnell!" urged the manatee.
Jimmy was so distracted by the bullwhip and Betsy the staple gun that he didn't see he was rolling directly for the stairs. Tom Stranger had been extremely fond of that bow tie. He shed a single manly tear as it disappeared into the flames of the torturer's blowtorch.
"That was simply uncalled for," he told the torturers. "Give us your client list and this can all stop."
Tom Stranger never thought of himself as a hero. Hero was a title reserved for real men of courage, like George Washington or Harry Dresden. Tom was a simple insurance agent, but he would rather die than betray the solemn trust of his clients.
"Never."
The head torturer shouted,
"I expected as much! Your reputation precedes you, Mr. Stranger!"
He turned to one of his underlings.
"Fetch my sack of rabid raccoons and my complete DVD collection of The View."
"Joy Behar is banned by the Geneva Convention."
"Not in this dimension!"
Tom cringed. This was truly one of the worst dimensions ever.
"You expect me to talk?"
"No, Mr. Stranger. I expect you to die."
The torturers high-fived each other. It didn't matter what reality you were in. Torturers loved to use that line. Just then, Jimmy the intern rolled down the stairs in an office chair in a most violent and haphazard manner. He collided with one of the torturers who dropped a sack of rabid raccoons. It burst open. Vicious, foaming mammals sprang forth, and the torturers screamed as they were attacked. Tom had to admit that he was rather surprised to see Jimmy attempting to rescue him. Perhaps he had underestimated him. But of course, Jimmy was immediately set upon by raccoons. But that was okay, because Tom had only needed a distraction. While they had been tormenting his poor bow tie, he had been working on the lock's mechanism with the picks subcutaneously implanted in his thumbs, and the shackles fell away and Tom stepped free. The head torturer saw Tom heading his way, and his eyes widened fearfully.
"You're free? I'm really super sorry, Mr. Stranger. It wasn't anything personal."
He held up the DVD of The View defensively.
"Conundrum ordered us to inflict these awful harpies on you. I swear, I had no choice."
"No one deserves Joy Behar."
Tom slugged the torturer in the face and left him to the raccoons. Jimmy was thrashing about with a raccoon gnawing on his arm. Tom removed the thrashing animal and placed it gently aside.
"Thank you for rescuing me, Jimmy."
"I found my inner insurance agent, Mr. Stranger."
"It appears that you have. I am sorry you were bitten by a rabid raccoon in the process."
"Yeah, man, that wicked hurt."
"Wait,
rabbit? Dude, does that mean I'm gonna gain its powers?"
"No, you're thinking of Spider-Man. Sadly, that is not how rabies or radioactivity works. Luckily, these do not appear to be werecoons, so there should be no lasting side effects, other than the prolonged series of extremely painful injections directly into your stomach, of course. Now we must hurry before Conundrum escapes." He helped Jimmy up. "Do you still have my combat wombat?"
"Oh, I must have dropped it falling down the stairs. But don't worry, Mr. Stranger. I did just like the imaginary glowing space manatee said and pushed the kill everything button 9 times.
Over the screams of the torturers and the chittering of the raccoons, Tom heard a dangerous beeping noise. He spotted his combat wombat lying on the floor. The warning light was blinking red.
"We need to run away now, Jimmy."
When his intern didn't react fast enough, Tom tossed him over his shoulder and ran up the stairs.
"Why are you carrying me?"
"Because you set my combat wombat to self-destruct."
"That sounds bad. Is that bad?"
"The explosion is approximately 1 kilogrills.
Tom ran as fast as his cybernetically enhanced legs could carry them. Once clear of the stairs, he squished the supervisor, plowed through several cubicles, and didn't even bother to see if the door was locked. Instead, he just lowered one shoulder and made a Tom Stranger-shaped hole through it. In the lobby, either the security guard or the potted plants engaged them with small arms fire, but he didn't slow down enough to check. Tom smashed through the front door and sprinted across the parking lot.
I'm not super good at math, but I watched Miami Vice. A kilo's a lot, right?
Yes, Jimmy, Tom panted as he ran across the field. Several cows were watching them curiously. He shouted at them in Anguzian. Flee, my bovine friends. The call center is about to explode.
Mm-hmm,
replied one of the cows, which roughly translated to, thanks for the heads up, insurance professional, as she took cover. Tom unceremoniously chucked Jimmy into a drainage ditch, and then he ducked down next to him. Jimmy peeked his head over the edge. There was a small flash, a whoomp, and the call center shook just a bit as some smoke shot out of the doors.
Well, that didn't seem so bad.
Jimmy didn't realize that that was just a single round of the Combat Wombat's explosive ammo cooking off. There were another 200 rounds in the magazine, and that wasn't even getting into the missiles, area denial system, or spider mines. Tom placed one hand on Jimmy's head and shoved him back down. Then it sounded like popcorn popping, but only if each individual kernel was filled with enough high explosives to level a house. And then the good stuff went off, and each of those micro-warheads was sufficient to flatten a city block. And then the power cell went critical, and the flash could be seen from space. In fact, just then, there was an astronaut aboard the International Space Station who was all like, "Holy crap! Somebody just nuked Nebraska!" They slowly raised their heads over the edge of the ditch. Jimmy gawked at the expanding mushroom cloud. There was nothing but a giant crater where the fail-state call center had been.
That was like 10 Michael Bay movies worth of explosions, Mr. Stranger! What about all those call center employees?
They were telemarketers, Jimmy. No one will miss them. Tom stood up and dusted off his suit. He hoped Jeff Conundrum had still been inside. If that were the case, then this was a fine day for insurance agents everywhere. I am impressed. Despite your complete ineptitude, you believed in yourself enough to overcome all the odds and rescue me. That was very Kung Fu Panda of you.
I sure did, Jimmy said with pride. Do you think I could maybe make it as an insurance agent now?
Tom thought it over. Perhaps Jimmy was not totally hopeless. Let's put it this way. If you gave me a customer satisfaction survey right now, I would have to give you at least a 5. I am not mildly dissatisfied.
Wow! Thanks, Mr. Stranger!
Jimmy grinned, but then his expression changed as he looked over Tom's shoulder.
Look out!
Tom turned to see that Jeff Conundrum had survived the explosion and freed himself from the wreckage. He was aiming a pistol right at Tom's head. Conundrum fired. Only Jimmy had stepped in the way and was struck instead. Oof! He spun around and fell in the grass. Conundrum would have finished them off, except his cheap commie jerkface knockoff of a combat wombat had jammed. He snarled, struck at the gun a few times in frustration before dropping it and running away.
We'll meet again, stranger than fiction!
Tom knelt at Jimmy's side. I can't believe you took a bullet for me.
Yeah, I totally meant to do that. That wasn't just me tripping and getting in the way, I swear. But damn, dude, getting shot really freaking hurts!
That was kind of the point. He patted Jimmy on the head. There, there. Jimmy coughed.
How about my customer service survey now?
I would have to give you at least a 6. I am now mildly satisfied. That was one of the highest compliments Tom had ever given anyone.
I'm scared, Mr. Stranger. Dude, man, freak, I don't want to die. Oh, I can see a light. I can totally see a light, Mr. Stranger.
That's because you're staring up at the sun, Jimmy. Tom had already produced an emergency med kit, squirted healing nanogel into the bullet hole, and given Jimmy a shot full of painkillers. It's just a flesh wound. You'll be perfectly fine. Jimmy sat up.
Oh.
He looked down at the bloody hole in his Chico State t-shirt.
Huh. I've always heard chicks dig scars.
That is true in every universe.
sweet. Oh, but hey, if I'm not going to bleed to death or anything, you should totally go whoop that blue-haired fat guy's ass.
Tom saw Conundrum running across an open field. He would avenge his intern and his favorite bow tie.
That is an excellent idea, Jimmy.
Only the painkillers had kicked in and Jimmy was too busy staring at his hands to hear him. He wiggled his fingers.
Whoa! Oh. Hey there, little space manatees, how you doing?
So Tom left Jimmy to his hallucinations and went in pursuit of Jeff Conundrum. Chapter 6. Tom's 3 p.m. Epic Dimension Hopping Boss Fight. Conundrum was far faster than his rotund form suggested. Like most interdimensional insurance agents, he was also genetically and cybernetically augmented, but Tom was still gaining on him, because while Jeff had grown soft and cynical, Tom had trained constantly in pursuit of superior customer service. Conundrum looked back, saw Tom catching up, and pulled a complicated device from beneath his suspenders. It was a portable rift maker. Such black market devices were incredibly dangerous, but Conundrum was desperate. He mashed the button.
So long, Tom!
A glowing hole appeared in the air in front of Conundrum, and he stepped through. Tom didn't know where in space or time the gate would lead, but he had to hurry and leap through before it closed on him. Jeff had paused on the other side to catch his breath. He stared in disbelief as Tom popped out after him.
Don't you ever give up?
Give up? That's a 2 or 3 on a satisfaction survey talk.
Though he didn't know which reality they were in, Tom recognized the building. They were in the White House. Jeff Conundrum ran toward the Oval Office, shouting for Secret Service agents to tackle Tom. He easily avoided the unaugmented humans and chased Jeff into the president's inner sanctum. Only what appeared to be an alcoholic circus clown was sitting behind the desk. Tom did not recognize him.
Vice President Joe Biden, I need your help! Jeff shouted. Where's the president?
He looked up from his stupor. I'm only filling in for the big guy while he's golfing. Well, what's my insurance agent doing here? Where are the strippers I ordered?
So, he left you in charge? Did I command you to use your superpowers to destroy Tom Stranger?
Confused, Joe Biden lifted one arm, revealing that he had a suitcase handcuffed to his wrist.
Oh, you mean this?
Tom recognized it as the dreaded nuclear football that held the country's top secret launch codes. Only when Joe Biden opened it, confetti and festive balloons popped out.
That's what the guys left in there for me, huh? Ain't that something?
Dang it, I should have known!
Conundrum went to activate his portable rift generator, but Tom Stranger swept the Karl Marx bobblehead from the president's desk and hurled it at him. The bobblehead struck the device, but rather than knock it from Jeff's hands, it stuck the selector to random. There was a flash of light. Then Jeff, Tom, and Vice President Joe Biden were free-falling through the air. The rainbow-colored ground rushed up to meet them. Luckily, it was a giant world-spanning ball pit that broke their fall. He'd been here before. Tom hated this dimension. It was very silly. As he swam and struggled through the balls toward the floundering Conundrum, Joe Biden could be heard shouting,
"Oh, ball pit! Ha ha! This is the best birthday ever!"
Curse these infernal balls. Tom reached Conundrum and punched him in his ample gut.
"Surrender, Jeff."
"Never!"
Jeff shouted as he struck the button again. There was a flash, and Jeff and Tom were torn from that universe, leaving Vice President Joe Biden to have a wonderful time throwing rainbow-colored balls in the air. Until the ball sharks arrived. The two of them appeared in a very dark reality. Jeff and Tom looked around, saw all the strange leather accoutrements and odd devices surrounding them, and simultaneously realized they'd entered the universe dominated, literally, by 50 Shades of Grey novels.
Awkward,
Conundrum said as he realized they were being watched by pervy weirdos and bored housewives.
Push the button again, Jeff, Tom suggested. We can fight to death somewhere else, somewhere tasteful. Good call, Tom. Pushing the button.
There was a flash, and the two of them were standing at the top of a giant volcano that was actively spewing smoke and lava under a blood-red sky filled with lightning and swirling fire tornadoes. It was a proper showdown location. "Now this is more like it," Conundrum said as he sucker-punched Tom in the face. The two of them fought across the narrow ledge at the top of the volcano. Lava gurgled, bubbled, and spat below them. It was more than 400 degrees on the ledge, so Tom broke into a sweat. Both of them had dozens of fighting styles downloaded directly into their brains. Their bones were hardened with armored molecular weave, and they were capable of moving at speeds that made Jackie Chan look like a tree sloth. When two interdimensional insurance agents throw down, it gets pretty crazy. Only Tom was still recovering from being poisoned and tortured, not to mention he'd skipped lunch, so Conundrum got the upper hand. With a spinning back kick, he knocked Tom down and sent him rolling to the edge. He clung there, precariously balanced. One slip, and it meant falling to a certain lava-filled doom.
"You know why I always win, Tom? It's because I cheat. You know why your reality got totaled, huh? Because it was a loser reality for losers who lose. Ha ha ha. I know that's why you have it in for me. Yeah, yeah, sure. You were only a boy and had to watch your whole planet explode. Yeah, that's a bummer. I get that. But it's no excuse to make me look bad in front of Chuck Norris. Your stupid dimension brought it on themselves for being underinsured."
"That was pretty irresponsible of my Earth," Tom agreed. "Maybe if their insurance agent had done his job, they would have bought the correct coverage. But this isn't personal, Jeff. This is professional. You've committed crimes against insurance. Surrender yourself to the licensing board for peer review."
"And pay a fine? I don't think so," Conundrum laughed as he kicked Tom over the side.
The intrepid interdimensional insurance agent barely hung on by his fingertips. Conundrum stepped on Tom's fingers and ground them into the rock beneath his Kenneth Cole Oxfords. Tom winced.
"Last chance, Jeff. Give up."
Conundrum snorted.
"You're about to fall to your death. People are strange. You're hardly in any position to threaten me. What's to keep me from just murdering you once and for all, hmm?"
"You're forgetting one thing, Jeff."
"What's that, Tom?"
"We're from different dimensions."
"So?"
"I'm insured with Stranger and Stranger."
Someone tapped Jeff Conundrum on the shoulder. He reflexively turned around to discover that he was facing another Tom Stranger who promptly shoved him. Off balance, Jeff's arms windmilled wildly. It would have been comical if not for the whole burning lava death thing, before he tumbled over the ledge.
"Stranger!"
Conundrum disappeared into the sulfur clouds below.
"Hello, Tom."
"Tom?"
the other Tom Stranger said in greeting as he extended a hand to help Tom up. "It appears that you've had a difficult day."
"Indeed. Thank you."
Once safely back on the ledge, Tom dusted off the tattered remains of his suit. The other Tom's attire was in pristine condition. Tom Prime was a little jealous that the other Tom still had his green bow tie. That Tom had a goatee, which meant he was Evil Tom, but regardless of his alignment, right or wrong, good or evil, just or unjust, that all paled before the importance of providing quality customer service. Evil Tom made a tisk-tisk noise as he looked over the sorry state of Tom Prime's suit.
"Well, it looks like we've got that business sorted out. I'll have my Muffy send your Muffy the paperwork."
"Excellent. Oh, are we still on for golf this Saturday at Dick Cheney's secret moon base?"
"Of course. I will bring the chips."
The two Tom Strangers shook hands before they parted ways. Tom limped back to the edge and looked over the side. As he peered down into the sulfur clouds, he spotted Jeff Conundrum far below. His nemesis hadn't perished. Instead, one of his neon suspenders had caught on a cliff, leaving him dangling helplessly a few feet over the lava flow.
"It seems you are in a predicament, Jeff."
It's a bit of a conundrum. Damn, you're right. That is annoying. Well, now can I get a hand here, Tom?"
"Sorry, you're not covered by Stranger and Stranger."
Just then, something stirred in the lava beneath Jeff. A gigantic, terrifying figure rose from the molten rock. Tom recognized it as the Balrog he'd fought in Nebraska earlier, so that was whose horrible, hellish dimension they'd wound up in.
"Hello," Tom waved.
"Greetings, Tom Stranger. You are early. I set up a consultation with your secretary, but I didn't think our meeting was until tomorrow. Who is this other flabby, blue-haired mortal dangling over my pain cave? Wait. It's you."
The horrific demon got right in Conundrum's face.
"You jerk! You canceled my liability policy and tricked my legions into invading Nebraska!"
About that, I can totally explain.
"Screw that. You're on my turf now, Conundrum. You will pay for your sins. Your stupid call center put me on hold for what seemed like eternity. But now I get to show you what eternity really means. Get it? Because eternal torment is sort of our thing around here. I'm going to stick you down in the seventh level with the murderers and the Fox executives who canceled Firefly. We call it the Pineapple Room."
"Sounds awful.
Oh, whatever it is you're imagining we make you do with the pineapples, it's way worse."
Panicked, Jeff looked at Tom and said, Hey, Tom, can I buy a stranger and stranger policy real fast?" He thought about it for a moment. Maybe if Jeff hadn't shot his intern and burned his favorite bow tie. But every once in a while, it turned out that goodness and justice did still matter.
"Denied." Tom Stranger turned his back and began to walk away.
"Wait, why?"
"Pre-existing conditions." Epilogue. Tom pencils in a 3:45 team meeting. Back aboard the Stranger and Stranger giant battle mech, Tom changed into his spare suit and red bow tie. It was a clearly inferior bow tie, but sometimes there were casualties in this business. Sacrifices had to be made. Jimmy Duquesne was sitting in one of the seats in the cockpit, repeatedly poking his finger into the gunshot wound on his chest.
"Ouch!"
Then a few seconds would pass, and he would inevitably do it again. "Ouch!" Tom interrupted him. "Well, Jimmy, we are running late, but if we hurry to take the shortcut through a few other realities, we could still make our 4 o'clock. It seems that on Earth 123S4567, our client, Cookie Monster, has inadvertently fallen in with Somali pirates and has overthrown the democratically elected governments of several African nations. It appears he has gotten into the shortbread again, and the damages are staggering."
"Wait, our client?"
"Yes. Do not let the adorable children's programming of your universe fool you. He is the most feared and deadly mercenary in the multiverse. Big Blue, as he is called in the mercenary community, is paid in cookies, and wherever he treads, there is blood and bodies. When he is spun up, he leaves a path of devastation and crumbs across worlds. To look into his googly eyes is to know madness."
Or as Muffy Wappler's message had warned him, this latest revolution had been brought to them by the letters C, M, and the number 7.62.
No, man, I'm cool with that. Murderous puppets, whatever, it's all good. I mean the part where you called him our client."
"Why, yes, Jimmy, as long as his premiums are paid, then he is our client, and it is our solemn duty to provide him with the best customer service possible. When universes collide, Stranger and Stranger will be there."
"But does that mean that you're making me your real intern, Mr. Stranger?"
"You still have much to learn, young intern, but you have demonstrated your commitment to quality service. Sure. According to every simulation I have run, your odds of success are minimal, and your odds of survival are even worse. But I sent the paperwork over to Chico State earlier. You are now, officially, my real intern."
"Oh, kick ass!"
Jimmy pumped one fist in the air. "Wait, my survival is what now?"
Unlikely, but don't worry, there are other perks.
You mean I'm going to be rolling in the dough, G?
Tom wasn't sure why Jimmy would want to cavort in raw bread. Tom checked his info link. Oh, you mean money. Were you not aware that this is an unpaid internship?
But you said there were perks.
Yes. For example, you get to see our new commercial before it airs. Muffy just finished editing it and sent it over. Tom turned on the hologram projector while he prepared to launch them toward the nearest rift. The new commercial began to play, and Jimmy's protests about unfair pay and unsafe working conditions were drowned out by the audio. Voiceover guy. Everyone knows that Stranger and Stranger has been rated number one in customer service for 3 years running, but why? Let's hear testimonials from some satisfied customers. A satisfied customer appears.
I'm Secretary of Defense Earth 345 whatever, Tom called it. We got invaded, but my dimension had Stranger and Stranger extended space marauder coverage. After being screwed over by a horde of purple egg-sucking puke rags, Tom kicked their asses back to space. It was a Mach 4 pterodactyl rodeo. Hoorah! Tom Stranger's customer service is outstanding!
Cut to another satisfied customer.
I'm Adam Baldwin, President of the United States of America, on Earth 345 Bravo 98081. Tom Stranger saved our entire planet with his...
Goes to split screen, another customer appears.
And I'm Barack Obama, the American President, on Earth 129J00561. After our old insurance agent blew up Nebraska and left my vice president stranded on another planet being menaced by ball sharks, Tom Stranger was kind enough to return Joe to our universe.
Hey, I was talking, jerk.
Well, I got bored, and that hat makes you look stupid.
I think it makes me look cunning. You take that back!
Barack Obama sticks his nose in the air and looks smug.
Let me be clear. I'm very important on my planet.
And I swear on Charlton Heston's magic laser sword that I truly do not give a flying crap. Apologize to my hat!
I only apologize to dictators and terrorists, and occasionally I bow to a small-town mayor, but only if I'm caught up in the moment. It'll be a cold day in hell before I apologize to a libertarian space cowboy.
The Secretary of Defense shoves his way back onto camera.
Let me through, Prez! Nobody talks trash to my dimension! Hey! I know you! You're that guy who can't even pronounce Corman correctly! Nobody disrespects my beloved Corps or my president's hat! I'll plant my Space Marine size 12 combat boot in your cornhole! Hey! Yeah, I'm talking to you! Eyes over here, maggot! Your teleprompter can't save you now!
Barack Obama appears confused.
You kiss your mama with that mouth?
No, but I kiss yours with it!
What? This means war?
Cut to Tom Stranger at his desk, perplexed.
Well, that just goes to demonstrate that when multiple alternate realities collide, things can get a little...
Voiceover guy. Strange? Tom.
I suppose so.
Tom sighs as there is a huge explosion in the background.
Well, looks like I've got more work to do. Until next time, you are in strange hands with Stranger and Stranger.
The commercial faded away.
Okay, Mr. Stranger, cool. About this unpaid intern thing...
But Tom activated the rocket boosters, crushing Jimmy into his seat and launching them toward their next claim.
Welcome to Stranger and Stranger, Jimmy. Buckle up.
This has been an Audible Studios production of The Adventures of Tom Stranger, Interdimensional Insurance Agent. Written by Larry Correa. Performed by Adam Baldwin. Executive producer Steve Feldberg and Mike Charzuk. Produced and directed by Kat Lambrix. Edited, mixed, and mastered by Darren Vermas. Copyright 2016 by Larry Correa. Production copyright 2016 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.